Please remain standing and please turn with me to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. We're going to read verses 16 through 26. Matthew 19, 16 through 26. Here's the word of God. And behold, a man came up to him saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you will be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Shall we pray? Father, please give us your holy word, and please help us to forsake our sins, but help us to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. We are invited to follow him. What a glorious privilege we have that we can be called your children. Your Son is not ashamed of being called as our elder brother. And you are not ashamed of being called as our God. So we want to worship you this time. Please be with us and speak to our heart. And please sanctify us for your own glory. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. As you know, or as some of you know, this story of the rich young ruler is recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke in all three synoptic gospels. And this story, sadly, is one of the most commonly misunderstood or even misused ones. Our text, verse 21, Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. From the very beginning, I want to make sure that it does not teach us that we must throw away our material possessions in order to be saved. This passage does not claim that being rich is something bad or even wrong in and of itself. Then why does Jesus specifically bring up the matter of money in our text? The reason is because Jesus wants to disclose or reveal what is on the heart of the rich young ruler by telling him to give up his money. At the same time, I believe Jesus wants to reveal something about himself, which is that he has the eternal life. He is the Son of God who has the authority to grant eternal life upon sinners. So let's see from the beginning, verse 16. Behold, a man came to him saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. Let me read a parallel text. It is Luke 18:18. A ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. So we observe from these two texts that this man is young, and this man is very rich, extremely rich. That's what Luke said. And he has already achieved a very high social standing. Plus, based upon what he claims, he is a very moral, upright man. So we can say that he's very smart, he's very talented, and he has a good reputation in his town. Let me read another parallel text. This time, it is from Mark 10:17. A man ran up and knelt before him, asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So we find more here that this smart, young, rich ruler, for some reasons, is in a very hurry to meet with Jesus. So he even knelt down before him when he found Jesus. So I believe, based upon the context, this young man is smart enough to have realized that his success will not last for good. He knows that he's getting older and eventually he's gonna die. He knows that he cannot enjoy his possession or his achievement forever. Eventually, he has to leave all his success behind him. So probably it was a very perplexing thing to him. What is my life about? What is my social standing for if I die anyway? What is my richness, my extreme, very thick, heavy bank account for if I die anytime soon? So he knows that if he cannot solve this ultimate problem, his life is actually meaningless. But thankfully, one day he heard some rumor that there is a man who talks about eternal life. As you know, his name is Jesus Christ. So in our text, this rich young ruler found Jesus, and he ran to him with enthusiasm and passion, and he's talking to Jesus, saying, "I heard that you are a great teacher who has figured out how to live forever. I heard about you that you are teaching about some eternal life. So could you please share with me the secret for this eternal life? Please teach me what I have to do in order to live forever." At this moment, I want to remind you the fact or the truth that Jesus was able to read people's mind. Am I correct? For example, John 2:23. When he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus on his heart did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. It's not the only place that we can find Jesus can read people's minds and hearts. What I want to point out from this point is that Jesus understood that this young rich ruler approached him as some kind of philosopher or some great teacher, or even I can say a religious guru, not as God. So this rich young ruler is not approaching Jesus as God, but he's approaching him as some, you know, intellectual person or philosophical person. So as Jesus reads into his heart, he responds to him in verse 17. Why do you ask me about what is good? Because there is only one who is good. Let me read again the parallel text, Mark 10:18. Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except whom? God alone." So here Jesus is trying to teach this young man that he has to ask God about eternal life. It's because only God alone can answer the ultimate question of eternal life. So Jesus is trying to teach or reveal to this young rich ruler that he is the Son of God. So he makes some connection from the very beginning. And then he's bringing up God's moral law. In our text, verse 17, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Here we read that Jesus did not put the first four commandments, but he put 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and then 5th commandment. And he put, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So you might wonder what's the specific meaning in that order. To be honest with you, personally, I haven't found any big implication there. So I simply understand at this point that Jesus told the young rich ruler to keep God's moral law. Then we have to ask this question: how does keeping the moral law or Ten Commandments point to the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? It's because God's moral law reveals that God is holy, but we are not holy. Let me quote Romans chapter 7, verse 7. "If it had not been for the law," Paul says, "I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" In the same chapter, Romans 7, verse 12, "The law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good." So God's law is perfect and holy and righteous because God himself is perfect, righteous, and holy. And God is righteous. That's why God's law reveals God's righteousness, holiness to us. And in contrast with God, human beings are not holy. They're not righteous. All human beings sinned when Adam sinned. All men and women were placed under the penalty of sin when Adam failed to keep God's law. In other words, no one is righteous. No one seeks after God. No one is able to keep God's law perfectly. So it is impossible for anyone to keep God's law. It is impossible for anyone to prove that they are perfectly righteous by keeping the law. So Romans 3:20, "By works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." Nevertheless, here is the good news. Jesus Christ kept God's law perfectly for whom? For us. He kept the law perfectly. And this rich young ruler asked Jesus, "Who kept the law perfectly? What do I have to do to receive eternal life?" And Jesus wants to teach him that you cannot. You cannot. Your whole disposition is wrong. You are not supposed to ask that kind of question. You cannot gain eternal life from God by keeping God's law. You are not perfect. You are not righteous. You are a sinner who deserves God's eternal judgment. And I am the one who has kept the law. And I am the one who can give eternal life to you. Your question is wrong. And verse 20, the young man said to him, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? What does he lack? He lacks everything. Do you agree with me? This young rich ruler lacks everything. He's filled with self-righteousness. He's filled with pride. He thinks that he's not a sinner. He thinks that he's capable to keep God's law, to become or to receive eternal life as the reward by keeping God's law. As you know, there are many nice, kind people out there. More specifically, there are many decent, moral, upright unbelievers out there. Then what's the difference between the moral unbelievers and believers, including us? The simple answer can be this. The moral unbelievers are building up their own self-righteousness for their own sake, for their own glory, for their own benefit. But believers are supposed to live out the given righteousness that Christ has given to us for God's glory. So I believe that this rich young ruler tried to keep God's law for his own benefit, for his own glory. The ultimate teaching of God's moral law is, as you know, what? To love God and to love our neighbors. So out of love for God, we keep God's law. Well, we strive to keep God's commandments. Plus, we express our love to him. How? By keeping the law. So obviously, this rich young ruler has not realized the true meaning of God's law. He thought that maybe, perhaps, he lacked a couple of things before he could achieve eternal life from God. But the truth of the matter is that he lacked everything. Why? Because he didn't have Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. This rich young ruler didn't know who God was, didn't know who the Son of God was. He did not worship God. He did not love him with his all might and heart in a genuine sense. He did not. He did not love God. And he did not know Jesus. So I want to say that this young ruler lacked everything because he did not know who Jesus was or who God was. And Jesus now became very direct in his word to this young man. Verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And the young man heard this. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let me read one more, the parallel text, Mark 10:21. Jesus looking at him, listen carefully, Jesus looking at him loved him. Did you catch that? Jesus looking at him loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." The main focus is upon the phrase, "Follow me." That's God's commandment. Or the crux of God's commandment for us. We are required. We are invited to follow Jesus Christ. So here Christ offered eternal life to this young rich ruler with a warm affection, with a genuine, sincere heart. Follow me. I can give you eternal life. I am the one who has that eternal life. I am the Son of God sent by this almighty, holy God. Would you follow me? Here we have to be really careful on how to interpret his words when it comes to selling the possession. But we should never understand that the gospel of Christ requires us that we have to do something or work out something before we can follow him. Actually, that's what Jesus is doing is kind of a rhetorical thing. He's talking to him based upon his own logic. You think if you can do something, then you can be saved. You think that you can work up some your own salvation by doing something. Oh, really? Really? Do you think that you can do that? So Jesus said, what about this? Why don't you sell? For example, why don't you sell your possessions? Can you do that? No, he cannot. Jesus knew that he could not do that. Why? That was his idol. That was his God. His possession, his reputation, his self-righteousness was his own God, his own idol. So Jesus knew that that shouldn't be that way. I want to free you from your own idols. I can save you. I can forgive you of your sins. So follow me. What good is it to try to keep the law without knowing God, without loving God? That's nothing. That's nothing but a hopeless, lifeless religion. That's not Christianity. Money, your old possession, is that very important or more important than having me as your Savior? Is your idol more important to follow, more important than to follow Jesus Christ? So I believe Jesus exposed one of his many idols or one of many his sins by telling him to sell his possessions. Jesus had to convict him of his ultimate problem of sin. Let me jump to verse 23 in our passage. Verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Here Jesus is teaching the impossibility to become a child of God. No matter how much we try, no matter how much we sacrifice apart from Jesus. There is no one who can solve our sin problem but Jesus. Again, we are not talking about here how difficult it is to receive eternal life. We're not talking about how much we should give up in order to enter God's kingdom. Simply put, we are talking about the impossibility for us to be saved apart from Christ. You can be rich with your possessions. You can be rich with your education. You can be rich with your pride. Maybe you are already trying. Maybe all of us know that what it means to idolize something apart from Christ. So dear brothers and sisters, what is your idol, by the way? Is your possession? Is that your idol? Is your reputation? Is that your God? Or do you maybe addict? Are you addicted to something that you just find your pleasure in that addiction again and again? What is your God? What is your idol that you are pursuing passionately? And while you are doing that, you are just saying to God, Lord, I love you. What should I do to become holier, to become more sanctified? I don't know if you have tried. But if you have tried, you know that it is not easy to change your disposition, your heart. But let me be more blunt. It is impossible, actually, for you to change your heart. That's what the Bible teaches us. You cannot. You cannot bring about any sanctification to yourself. You cannot change your disposition from pursuing idols into pursuing God. Why? Because you are a sinner. It is impossible for you to be justified apart from Christ. Everyone agrees with that, but some people don't agree with this one now. Don't think that you can be sanctified apart from Christ. Don't try to work off your own holiness apart from the grace of Christ. Then what do we have to do? Very simple. Behold Christ. Look at Him. And confess to Him. Be honest with Him, saying, Lord, I have a lot of idols in my heart. Oh, Lord, I just cannot change myself. I don't know why, but I pursue my own sins again and again. Lord, please have mercy on me. Have mercy on me that I can follow You, that I can love You more. Please heal me that I can be healed. Please save me that I can be saved. What do we need? We need Jesus Christ, and we need His grace, His amazing grace. Apart from Him, everything's impossible when it comes to our salvation. Remember, Jesus Christ affectionately, lovingly invited this rich young ruler to follow Him. But he didn't. What a heartbreaking thing it was, wasn't it? But the question is, as Jesus is calling you to follow Him tonight, what would be your answer? How would you answer to Him? Follow me, because I love you so much. Don't pursue your sin any longer. Follow me. Verse 26, and let me close. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Remember, with Christ, all things are possible. Let's pray. Oh, Father, please help us to live out the perfect righteousness that we received from Christ for your own glory. Help us to stand in the perfect righteousness of Christ and live obediently, dearly, and passionately for your Son's glory. Please bless our hearts. Let us know that we are sinners, but let us know that in Christ we are holy and perfectly accepted by you. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.